Karen?
It's on.
Okay. Good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is Tuesday, October 24th, 2017. It is 9 a.m. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for a legal counsel update. We have a short agenda, however, Commissioner Morgan's not here. Item number one is review of draft administrative policy E-5, marijuana use and marijuana-themed events on county property.
Yes, we do have a short agenda, but I wanted to, often I would just move it to Thursday so we don't have an extra meeting, but I did want to keep these matters moving.
Okay.
And so I do appreciate the board accommodating that. All right, so this has been in the works ever since the board initially passed its order regarding marijuana-themed events on county property. This would be the formal update to the administrative policies and procedures manual that would kind of make it, I mean, it's already the law of the county, so to speak. It's already the board's order, but this would make it the formal codified version of that within the policies and procedures manual. So,
great.
Nothing new here, but
when we sold that property out at Lake Selmac, and it came up, you know, you're not allowed to have marijuana. There was one strip in there that
we didn't sell anything. It was private property.
It was
changed hands.
Right.
The resort.
Right.
They have a lease for access
to Lake Selmac. I was wondering if this was just added to that or not, but that doesn't have
it's
any.
It's kind of in response to that because the previous owner was not a marijuana themed owner. It was a recreation.
I know we had
a different kind of recreation.
We had a lot of input from the citizens on that. You know, on what are you doing on, why are you allowing this on county property? And I would just wonder if this is kind of just spelling it out. Because I read it, it looks like it's touching every base.
Well, this is guiding staff. The previous order that we passed was the law, like Councilor Hicks said, the law of the land. Mm-hmm. We won't allow public use. It's the bold in italics down on the bottom is really the crux of it, and it makes a lot of sense, and I think it's the thing that, you know, when you do get asked, you say, no, this is where we're at.
Well, I like the requirement that they fill out, it's an actual statement that they fill out. There is nothing gray in that statement.
No.
You check the box that, yes, you'll adhere to that, you pretty well locked yourself in, you can't come back, so we'll call it
constitutional. Well, I think that has to cover us from a standpoint that we don't endorse these kinds of things, because if anything goes awry, you know, then
we say,
it was right here. We never endorsed that.
And I like the bond, too. I like the bond that you would forfeit if you didn't. If things went sideways, you end up with a Woodstock on your hands. You got whatever the bond is. Who determined that amount?
Probably the liaison, legal counsel, and the manager. Mostly it's going to be a parks or fairgrounds themed element.
Yes,
minimum,
realistically.
Like construction bond is $1 million, but for certain things that are more challenging in nature, we required a $2 million bond.
Well, this one here says not less than $500, so I mean, is it...
The bond?
Yeah. Bond will never be less than $500.
Yeah.
And I didn't know whether that meant, you know, if you're going to have an event, you say, you got to post it.
At least.
$10,000 bond.
Yeah, I think we'd evaluate based on the application what the potential liability could be.
So I was wondering who determines that.
That doesn't mean that their liability stops at whatever the bond is. I mean, just because they put up a bond, they'd forfeit the bond, and then we'd go after them for potentially additional damages if necessary. So.
Okay.
Yes. It's incentive.
Yeah.
To round out the point about Lake Selmac, also within that specific lease, there was particular provisions that prohibited marijuana activity.
Right.
On these.
Right.
So I know that kept getting brought up in public meetings for some reason as though that wasn't there, but that's been as addressed as it's ever going to be.
Or letters to the editor. And
right,
else.
Right.
Silly stuff. Item number two is amendment to the lease. Yep. Yeah.
To move this forward, generally we send it on to the county departments for...
Review,
but it's up to you guys if you want to do that. And then the next step would be an order to adopt it.
I don't object to sending it out there. I don't know that there's going to be much need for clarification, but I don't think that it's a bad idea that they're made aware again.
just to see if they have any comments.
They may have some input in it.
Yeah, well, I think they've already provided that to kind of guide us where we're at today. I know Sarah's seen it, so.
Has seen the new one?
I don't know.
No, I don't think anyone.
This is new? I thought this is reiterating the previous order.
Right, but we've never actually written the policy until this one, so.
Okay. No, that sounds
Send
fine.
It out with a couple of weeks, okay.
That'd be great.
Okay.
The other one is an amendment to lease agreement with State Water Resources Department for office space and to planning.
It is. We're doing this after Julie's request, but this is the one I principally want to keep moving, you know, because we want to keep this lease going forward. And so hopefully you're provided a copy of it in advance.
Just this morning, unfortunately, we didn't have it, but that's okay.
Yeah,
I imagine it's not very complicated.
No, it's a straightforward, two-pager. Mm-hmm.
It's an amendment if you want to see the original. I didn't send that over, but...
No. It's just 2 years.
Right.
Did the price change at all?
I don't think so. I don't know.
It's $346. We should make sure that it's reflective of what we did do a rate change in our rate this year.
Okay.
Pretty sure I asked everybody if it was.
This is the same as what it was previously.
How much is it?
It's $346 currently. From the current lease period is September 1st of last year to September 30th of this year.
So it's not, it doesn't have a square foot thing.
And, well, let me see here, in terms of square foot, it doesn't have per square foot.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, it's in excess of what we charge internally, which is important to just keep above the, we're not losing money on it. So it's Jake Johnstone. It's just one guy. He doesn't need any more space than Miss Smith, so seems fine.
Okay.
They were talking about moving his location upstairs to consolidate our...
I thought they did that.
They did that?
I thought the Commission for Children and Families.
They did.
That's a bigger office space than the little office that Kathy had. I want to make sure that if he's getting all of Commission for Children and Families...
I checked with Julie and... There should be an email somewhere in there. But I checked with them to see if there was any change. They actually moved that office during the last lease term. Mm-hmm. But she didn't think there needed to be an amendment because it was the same square footage that he was getting. I don't know. It must just be an office within that area.
Did he need any changes or anything, walls moved or anything at all that... facilities would be involved with in that move?
I don't
Changing
know.
Changing
the
phone jacks or electric
I don't know of any.
No one's told us if they have been, so okay. I don't think so.
This came through Julie, so.
Right.
Well, frankly, it's just offsetting her cost. She's the original tenant, and then she's basically subletting.
Yeah.
So it's up to her, really. I'm sure she's if it hasn't changed square footage wise, she's doing fine. I don't think they can go out there on the market and find a better rate, so.
Right.
We changed the termination clause too, so that if we ever needed to move out of the building, because we used to have a format, then we went down to 2 months.
We did. The state originally wanted, 6 months?
No, they were always at 120.
Oh, 120,
but,
okay.
We went down to 60 in case we needed to move.
Well, we'll give them plenty of notice.
Is there ever a push for the state to put on another water master for this area just to handle the cannabis side of it? That's a huge undertaking. I remember Kathy always, you know, she couldn't walk the creeks because she didn't have backup, and she couldn't do this because she didn't have more than one person, and I need a state trooper to go with me and all of that stuff. So I don't know how effective she was at doing her job, you know, because a lot of our complaints that stem from the water issue, you know, my well is going dry, blah, 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 all that, you know, the Illinois River's almost dried up.
You know what Jake said at the cannabis advisory thing is the fact that they've never experienced a valid complaint of somebody's well going dry relative to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know why that is? Because in order for it to be considered a valid complaint, The well has to be compliant and certified, you know, like 100% up to date.
Nobody's ever done that.
Most people's wells are, you know, my well is 40 years old at the ranch. I don't know what the state statute says now. Maybe it's, instead of case down 25 feet, it's 30 feet. So, you know what? It's not 100% the way it is today. So
you have no basis.
You have no grounds. They just find exception for it. And he was referencing a lot of them as being hand-dug wells is the reason. So I'm not so sure there's anything for them to do. Frankly, I don't know that I want another water person in Josephine County. I think if the state feels like one is enough, then that it should be the priority that they're going after those kinds of things. You know, people's wells going dry relative to
We should probably just leave it up to that, activity. To the new water guy. If he thinks he needs help, he has to go to his people.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So, all of these situations I was thinking about have a nexus and a civil opportunity for somebody to, you know, take somebody to court on their own. They don't have to just rely on the water.
Well, there's an awful lot of factors that come into determining what the water table is going to do at any given time.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Well, I've never seen that. Well, how long you live around? 3 years. Yeah, you know.
Right.
You know, there's...
It's been 20 years. This last summer was the first time they shut down the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And to commercial operations.
Yeah.
So that... You know, and it was the most water we've had that winter in a long time. So, well, I do have other matters, but I'm going to get to this. I think we're probably going to petition, but I don't know, hold off another day on the resolution. So I don't have any problem moving these forward until next WBS. And isn't it such an extension? It can be just a consent calendar item. Matters from commissioners. What matters to you, Commissioner Ward? Thanks for joining us.
Sorry, my last meeting went long.
Yeah.
You know, I would say I was inspired yesterday to go out to Hidden Valley High School. The Farm Bureau of Josephine County's Tractor Club plowed the field out there, and just talking with some of the students. And out of that, the director of secondary education showed up. So he's in charge of all the Three Rivers junior highs and high schools. And, you know, my passion is how do we find a way to train up people in Josephine County that have a desire and ability to work in the future. And just kind of this vision of how do we, can we be a place that trains up the trades in other places and has workers and has people doing that. And these kids that are into farming, that's what they were doing. They're working with their hands, they're working with their stuff. And anyhow, the meeting I just came from was a group of leaders in the community asking, how do we come alongside the county? How do we support you guys? And where do you see the biggest needs and the biggest help? And how do we bring hope back to our community, as one of those kids that grew up here and questioned what future do I have in Grants Pass and Josephine County, how do we provide that hope of those training opportunities? So I'm just going to keep pursuing those opportunities of finding a way that we can bring in training opportunities for the future and keep pushing this realm that it's not just the county's little silo here, but working with the other agencies and such. So it's not legal, I apologize, but it's what's on my mind this morning. So there you go.
What do you have, Commissioner Dion?
Well, I just to spin off of that, when I was at the Fair Board meeting here a couple of weeks ago, it was their think tank anyway, and I said, you know, does anybody train anybody in tourism? We're right smack in the middle of tourist country. There is no course at Rural Community College. There isn't any. Tourism is a huge industry, and we don't have any training for it.
They have it at SOU, but
do they?
Called hospitality.
Hospitality. Because that, you know, that to me is very, very important, and it's an exciting, you know, young people are excited about things like that because they enjoy, you know, the rock climbing and all the other stuff they have around here. But I was just surprised that Rural Community College didn't have anything. I mean, we're talking about how do you keep your kids here? You know, that might be one of them. I would like clarification also, not to get off of that subject, if I can, and wander a little bit on the marijuana grows. Clarification on existing marijuana grows under 5.5 acres. Is there a process for them to continue business? Councilor Hicks and I spoke briefly about it yesterday, and I don't know if we had time to research it or you know, what the thoughts were on it. Because I had a couple of people in my office yesterday that talked about this guy, he's got 2.5 acres, and he's done all, everything through the state. He's got all of his permits through planning. They allowed him to do all of this, and then I think our deal says in 2 years you got to be gone.
No.
And that,
no, I'm under five.
Beg pardon?
I don't know that you have 2 years if you're under five. We should get
so that clarification would be necessary. The other thing is, I thought we arranged that variances could be applied for.
That's what I thought.
It wasn't the specifications of what can be applied for under variance.
So Julie sent out an email on Friday the 20th that outlined all those who have applied for land use compatibility statements. Of all producers Lux has received, there are 549. Of those 549, 203 are on RR. 203 are on RR. That's all RR zones. Of those 203, 83 exceed the 5 acre minimum requirement. So there's 120 that are below an RR, they're below 5 acre minimum. So there's 120 potential variance applications out there for people who don't even, are not even growing on 5 acres and looking for a commercial operation on that. So
I don't mind going forward. I mean, I'm just talking, and I'm just taking this one instance as an example, is this guy has 2.5 acres. He said, I've done everything all along. He's a rec grower, and he said, I've done everything. I've been with the states, you know, for 2 years since they
did closed. Did he come ask you about what you were thinking about land use laws in the future?
Yeah, no, he came in with a concern about what was on the books right now. He says, am I done? In other words, because I'm on 2.5 acres and I'm a rec grower, I would be considered a commercial grower. Am I finished in 2 years? And I said, well, you know, the way I think it reads, yeah, you are. And he says, well, I've done everything that you've wanted done all along, and then now you're going to put the 5 acre minimum on it, and I'm gone when I have no complaints around me. I have no problem, no nothing. And I thought, you know what? That, you know, he's got a point. I was the 5 acre minimum should, in my mind, is going forward. I don't know how you can retroactively go back and redo
that,
or if you
can.
Does
he understand that there's a ballot initiative being circulated that's going to call for an all-out ban on all RR?
Oh, I told him that. They understand that.
I mean, he's not even in the margin. You know, I
understand exactly what he said. Yeah. And I told him, I said, you know, there's a petition going around, and there's a good possibility you're all out of business.
Yeah.
Every one of you. And I said, I don't particularly want to see that, but guess what? That could happen. So you're going to have to accept some restrictions and some regulation if you don't want, if you want to just go back to the way you're doing business now, you're defending the bad behavior of the people that are bad behavior. But I also don't feel right punishing the guy that did it right all along and according to what we were doing at the time he applied for all of those, and he followed everything, and then all of a sudden we're going to retroactively go back and tell him, well, you can't be there anymore, get out.
It was the same industry asking us to hold off for 3 years on forming time, place, and manner regulations. Okay, we'll hold off. But you want to know maybe where the philosophy is going to come down? Yeah, RR is definitely going to be a concern. So if you're going to purchase property with the intent to grow a commercial operation.
And that's what I explained to him. I says, I have a lady that calls from Portland about twice a week, and she says, how are you coming on those? And she wants to buy. I says, what are you talking about? She says, well, I'm looking at 2.5 acres. It's RR.
Don't do it.
And I says, I wouldn't do that.
No.
I said, because going forward, it's a 5 acre. I said, we're looking at 5 acre chop. And that's pretty popular right now. And that 5 acre chop, I wouldn't go out and spend money on 2.5 acres thinking you're going to grow marijuana, because when you go to apply, it's not going to happen. And that's what I thought, you know, going forward, I think that's defendable. But to go back and tell a guy that everything that he's put into it, he now gets to throw away when he has no complaints around him had two of those yesterday, and I didn't have an answer. And I thought, you know, I said, well, do we have anything in ours, not specifically spelled out, but that they can apply for a conditional use permit, non-conforming use permit, or whatever to keep what they've invested in and what their grow is, keep it on their land without having it. And he says, you know, you can say, you know, part of the deal is, you know, you're going to send building and safety out there. I've got all my permits. I put in an extra electrical service. I've done everything with a licensed electrician. I've done it all. And I don't have any complaints from my neighbors. My neighbors love me. I'll be glad to, you know, they can fill out an affidavit that says I'm just fine. But then I get thrown out because of the 5-acre thing. And I don't mind going forward that we could tell realtors, you know, if the guy's getting ready to, if he's going to grow marijuana, don't show him anything under 5 acres because it's just not going to fly with the county.
When did you buy this place?
Oh, it's been 4 years ago. He's been in the recreational business since recreational business became legal. And he says, I've got my buildings are all up. He says, I've, you know, poured and slab. Everything's been inspected for building and safety. You know, electrician, everything's all done. He says, I've done it just by the thing. And then he says, I said, well, there's going to be some people that are inconvenienced, but I don't think he's the one that I would like to see. I think Richard Morgan tried to get that point across to me last time we met, but I don't know how to do it. If there is a pathway for a guy like him to take that's non-conforming use or something of that sort, I'm all for it. But to anybody coming in from, you know, I don't think we could say, all right, we changed the speed limit from 35 to 25, so anybody that got a 40-mile-an-hour ticket 3 years ago is going to have to pay extra because it just became more serious. I don't know whether legally we can go back and enforce something that we apply today, time, place, and manner, or whatever.
Yes, we can, Commissioner DeYoung. And knowing that is the whole reason we started this journey, you know, a year ago. I'm frustrated from a standpoint that we're not on the same page with knowing that there are going to be good people caught between the crosshairs.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't thread this needle with something that's reflective of what the community is asking for, with the hundreds of people that have contacted our offices, we all get a couple emails or calls
right.
a day.
But the
difference is going to be that they're going to put an all-out RR restriction on it, and it won't be 120 people that are caught between the crosshairs. It'll be 203 people who are on RR entirely
mm-hmm.
that won't be able to do commercial operations. So I don't know. I mean, do you want to refer to the voters? Is that what we're...
But I would like to know, of that 203 or whatever it is, how many are we talking about?
I just told you.
But are all of those...
120 people are on smaller than 5 acres.
Than 5 acres. 120.
120 people have filled out land use compatibility statements.
But that doesn't mean that they're licensed to grow.
That doesn't include the 3,000 medical growers. This is just the rec growers.
This is just people who are moving over. There's been 47 producers who have applied for a LUX since January to June. 47 this year applied for a LUX on RR. This is going to be messy. It's going to be real messy. Here, this came to you too.
Yeah, we got
Friday.
It.
Okay, that's my statement.
We're still allowing LUXes to be filed. The board had an opportunity 3 months ago to say we're not gonna approve any more land use compatibility statements on RR. We're still letting them go.
Well, my intention was to go through what Peter Gendron said. The end of August was all he required.
Well, let's cut it off.
And we can cut it off any time.
Yeah.
I agree. You can legally do so.
Yeah.
I don't know what the holdup was on that anyway. You know,
all we have to do...
That medical folks have until December 1st to switch to the metric system. So December 1st is the deadline they have to declare they're switching. Then they have January 1st to actually have the application in, I think. So what I remember the arguments that were presented were that if we want to allow as many medical folks to get into the tracking system, that's why you don't prevent the Lux. But
I don't think they need a Lux.
They won't.
Agreed, right, right. They don't.
Yep. So that's not apples and apples.
No, I'm just reminding what the discussion was when we decided not to grant them.
Not approving a Lux doesn't preclude people from the medical industry getting into the metric system. So.
And if you talk to the rec growers, it's the medical people where the problem lies.
Right.
And I'm not contesting that one way or the other. I'm not endorsing it. I'm not contesting it. Those are all just feelings, I think, that people have where the problem lies with black market. That it's all coming from the medical side, and you know, there's a huge amount of people out there that are just growing. They're not declaring one way or the other. They're just going to grow because everybody else is growing. They're not entered into the system in any way, shape, or form. They don't care. And they're not going to follow any rules.
I'm not inclined to probably give people 2 years to transition. I think it's a year, in my opinion. So I'm probably going to make that motion for an amendment to the proposal.
Well, I'm leaning towards if there are not...
We can delegate you as the hearings officer to hear the 120 applications for a variance. I'm happy to acquiesce if you want to do that. Establish some criteria and say, I'll hear them.
And honest to goodness, one of the things that I kind of brought up in talking to one of the guys yesterday, I said, maybe a hearings officer is what we need to say, you can stay or you can't.
I don't think it's such a bad idea. I mean, seriously, delegating one of us, or you establish some very definitive criteria. Commissioner Morgan can go back and say the fact that any interference from this commercial activity on residential premises next door is grounds for no. The answer being,
we had talked about a hearings officer last week, and the concern there is that you have to have the guidelines in place because a hearings officer can only interpret those.
Right,
they're not a policy person.
Correct, but it'd be an interesting perspective if you appointed a commissioner as that person, because individually we can't establish policy, but we've heard the heart of what is behind it versus a hearings officer outside to do that. It would take up a lot of time, but it's an interesting
full-time job, 120 hearings.
Yeah.
And I imagine you would, and they'd give it a good college try. And listening to your benevolent position this morning, I think I'd want to get in early and go with it. You'd probably be granted. I'm just saying.
I feel like I'm being painted into a corner and I don't even have the brush.
You don't have to. That's other people's jobs. No, we're all in this together, Commissioner DeYoung. It isn't you. I feel the same way about other people that are, I don't know how to thread it otherwise, And I look at everything through the lens of it's going to continue exactly how it is right now. That is not the lens, Joe Schmo, who came in and talked to you. The ramifications for us not doing something that looks like a measure out there is the fact that next year, May, he won't even get to, potentially, when an election happens, it takes effect, like the next day.
Yep.
So put your 50 plants in the ground. May 21st or whatever the day after the election, you need to take them out. Your Lux is not valid on an RR anymore. Is that what you want to happen?
Well, I don't know what the, like I said, I think, and I, talking to people that live under this thing where they've got, I'll go to Leonard Road again, I use that all the time. I called my friend at Leonard Road, I said, what size are you? He said, well, I'm on 3.5 acres, and he says, all my neighbors are 3.5, 4 acres. And I said, then they'll be gone. If it's under 5 acres, they won't be able to do anything.
They'll get to grow 12 plants.
Beg your pardon?
They'll get to grow 12 plants.
They'll get to grow 12 plants, and he's okay with that. He has no problem with that. But then I'm talking to a commercial grower that's done everything that's been required of him by the state, by the county, all the way up until now. I don't know if we can effectively put a pathway for him. And I see what you're saying. You're getting ready to land on me, and that's fine.
No, the answer is yes. Don't ask the question of whether or not you can. Ask the question of whether or not you should. And that's a defensible thing. I don't think we should, because we already put the plan. I mean, he inherited these rules, and he's living by them. So that's the law of the land, and you can't go back and change it now. If you want to cut a time and place and say from here on out, everybody going forward, these are the rules.
That's what I want.
That's your argument. But don't ask the question of whether or not you can, because you can. You can, Commissioner DeYoung, Lily, and myself can do that, because it's coming. I don't know that it really matters what we do here, Commissioner DeYoung. In T-minus 7 months, there's going to be a ballot initiative I know calls for an all-out prohibition on all RR. And it will likely pass. Mm-hmm. And then what we're discussing here today about the finer points of 2.5 or 5 or blah, 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 doesn't matter at all. So why don't we just refer whatever we have to the voters, maybe? You know? Say you can do this or you can do that. You know, the citizen initiative is going to call for more of an extreme measure to reflect what our non-binding question proposed. And maybe we say, okay, well, there's that as an option. But you also have the one that the board, you know, brought together a cannabis advisory committee for, had the Rural Planning Commission evaluate, had the planning director propose text amendments. We've had 2 or 3, you know, open sessions on the issue. We've heard hundreds of people's testimony, maybe 1,000 people testify on this issue, and what we came up with was whatever you think it should be, and that's our proposal, and we send it to the May ballot. That's a perfectly good strategy, and then we just say, hey, it's not that, it's not nothing, it's in the middle. What do you think? Decide, voters.
Well, I'm curious because I have to present to the Rogue Valley Republican women tomorrow in Julie's place. Or I get to. I was asked to, I guess. She went to the housing conference and there was some CET or continuing education opportunity for her if she found a replacement. So I'm not sure what I'll say because I don't think we know the answer.
Well, it's really important that when you're representing the county that you not present a position of the board that isn't a position of the board. And right now, we don't have a position. That's really important. That'll be my number one, is you never present on behalf of the county board of commissioners a position that we have not established, because I don't like that. I know what we do know, we don't know.
That's what I told you yesterday.
And actually, that's a pretty good place to start, because we don't know. We've got a draft we've worked real hard on, but I mean, even now there's contention about, you know, for me, 2-year phase out or one. I think I'm a 1-year, because the ramifications are is you're not even going to get a year.
I don't know what the outcomes of that ballot would be. It's interesting.
You know, the value, I mean, people are telling me, they just sent an email to David Brocksmith. Did you guys get CC'd on that? Somebody was lamenting to Representative Smith about the fact that their relative, their son, has invested XYZ in the cannabis industry, and now nobody will buy. There's just no value. People are, you know, the market's saturated. The real, the legit market is saturated. So
they'll all turn to black market and to get rid of their product.
And they don't need a license. They don't need a tracking system.
Back underground.
To get that. So it comes back to the needle we're trying to thread. Doesn't even...
Man's best laid plans.
Eventually it won't mean anything. It'll all be back to the black market. People tried the real market and it didn't work out. But I think people kind of, to a degree, got a little greedy, you know. The idea,
well, it's gold rush.
48 plants or 96.
Look what they did to the land. Look what they did to the land in seeking gold in California, because gold was under every hilltop, so they cut them all off. I mean, people did that. That's just what happened.
Yeah.
But, and you're right. This the guy I talked to yesterday with the 2.5 acres. And I told him, I said, you know, if you don't want to accept any kind of restrictions or regulations or anything, he said, that's not my point. He says, I have accepted all the regulations and all the restrictions. He says, but it's on a piece of 2.5 ground that is rural residential. And at the time I bought it, and at the time I went through everything, I did everything exactly like you want.
I bet Julie would have said.
Julie's not here.
I know. I mean, the point is that on the Luxus, we've put that land use is under review on RR. So, I mean, there is somewhat of a notification.
And the letters went out.
Yeah. So it's kind of been noticed. If you're going to gamble, 2.5 is probably a lot cheaper than 40-acre EFU or something.
Well, and you know, and you get the value, but the value of my land, this and that and the other thing. And I said, you know, I'll just read it right from the letter that I got today. And I read it. The lady had $650,000 was her value of her house. She tried to sell it for $400,000 because she's surrounded by marijuana. She can't even give it away.
Yeah.
And I says, and you come in here and tell me that you have increased the value of the land because you're a grower, and now you have more growers wanting to work in to buy land around you and so on and so forth. And I says, it's which way you're looking at it.
Yeah.
And I've got statements on both sides of that issue.
I went to the Rogue Valley Association of Realtors meeting last week, and they were all asking about when is it going to be out of RR, because it's affecting ability to sell this. I said, let me show you a message that was posted in the Cave Junction site from a realtor asking for the ousting of all three commissioners, because we haven't acknowledged what a blessing cannabis has been to the Illinois Valley. And they just all looked at me like, are you kidding? You know, that kind of thing. And they said, fine, let it grow out there. Well, no, I mean, this is Williams wants it only on this. This one only wants it on there. This one only wants it in there. It isn't unanimous. There's people affected on both sides of this. As my last meeting said, they said, you know, it's not that you're always prepared or you don't always have a decision of good versus bad. Sometimes it's which is the least bad decision. How many people are we affecting? How many relationships? How many different things? I think that's why we're still here, is because we've tried to find what will be the best outcome to find the peace in the community, but also not adversely affect those who are doing it right. But this isn't an easy, there isn't no perfect solution.
Was Bill Ortel at that meeting?
This morning? No.
No, the realtor meeting we went to.
I didn't see him there.
Because Bill Ortel, he's, you know, that's where he's making his money out there, selling to growers. He's like it. So
on a different subject, you got something.
Yeah, just if we can linger just one moment more. All right, so I did pick up that there's at least discussion of referring something to the voters. So as we know, working up a timeline in advance of an election is a fairly labor-intensive. Is it worth our... Should we be starting on that?
That's in the past, okay. Of a non-binding question. Well, an ordinance is different, so it has to be an ordinance.
It does.
And it's February, I think, is when it has to be pretty much finalized. Ours is earlier than everybody else because of our table. So
the ordinance itself would have to be tweaked a little bit.
Well, of course.
So if that's what you're going to do from day one.
Significantly.
Just the signature part, you know. Instead of effective, it's...
Work that. That's,
I'm talking about the timeline, though.
That's minor details.
Okay.
Broad strokes, right now.
Yes.
Yeah, that's... If you're talking about the May election.
Yeah.
Well,
we should have it done by February.
It's late October, and this is a land use deal. And we got
90 days.
Plus, I think 30 days notice to DLCD.
I don't know.
Anyway, okay.
Okay,
we can go up with something, a rough sketch.
Yeah. So what are you referring? You're going to refer something to the voter or not?
You are.
I don't know, but... Right, to illuminate your options, I guess.
Yes.
And before we kind of launch on this fairly labor intensive effort, I just wanted to get a feel
for
whether
the timeline
should
not be labor intensive. That's easy. You guys resurrect. I've seen those tables, and just change the dates based on counting backward by the number of days required for each step from the May whenever the election is in May.
Yeah, districts are really more problematic, but these things are...
Okay, we can get something to illuminate that option for you.
Yeah, I think we should. There's just enough hesitation, I think, on behalf of the board that we probably should explore that. I know that I think earlier conversations, it was a thought to just refer it to the voters and not require the signature gathering element to the referral, because that's the 90 days, is that people can gather signatures and refer whatever it is on a very low threshold of signature gathering to the voters anyway, which stays the 90-day implementation until the election. So does that make sense?
I don't have a problem with them gathering signatures at all.
Okay.
Letting somebody else refer it. Because then it doesn't come out of this board and say, hey, the people put it on. We told you that they were going to gather 2,500 signatures, and this was going to go on.
You're talking about the other one.
No.
Yeah, he's talking about ours.
You're talking about ours or the other one?
Well, the other one. I mean, the other one.
That's not up to us.
That's not up to us?
No, no. The only one that's up to us is the one we are initiating by a first reading coming up and publicized for November 1st. Right?
Yes, yes.
So that one's on schedule to be adopted by the board without referral to the voters.
Right. But they could refer it.
That's what that 90 days does.
They could take what you guys...
After the second reading, it gives the voters, the electorate, an opportunity to collect valid signatures, maybe 2,500. It could have gone up because of the 10% increase, but that would only be 2,800. You know, it doesn't do that many more. 2,800 signatures isn't that hard to get in 90 days. It's one of the lower thresholds for referral to the ballot.
Okay, but one of the things I think we promised the grower and the people alike is that we're going to nip this next grow season in the bud. Now we're over to May.
We don't have a choice. If they collect the signatures, it doesn't matter.
That to me is on, if there's a group in the community
so
collecting signatures.
You are not
signatures.
Interested in referring it to the voters. Is that what you're saying?
I think we need to keep working on things. Sorry.
It's okay. You don't have to decide today.
Right,
you just need to know that the option is out there.
Yeah. We can generate a timeline. And then
if it's contentious enough, it's going to be referred anyway. I bet you can almost bet that this issue is going to be contentious enough to inspire 120 people who are going to be negatively impacted by this to get their neighbors, everybody else, it won't take that many signatures, to stay our ordinance. So you're not going to make it by the January, February time when we were going to have this initiated if it's contentious enough. It's going to go to the May election. Now, do we refer it to the May election or do we allow them to get signatures to do it?
I think they need to get the signatures to do it, but I don't have a problem with coming up with something for us to
we
as
should know
a
what
board
our deadlines
to say
are.
This is what we would like to see happen. And like I say, the only thing that I have about what we've discussed so far.
Careful, we have new mics. Just kidding. She says she doesn't want to do it, and that's fine. I mean, I could go either way.
If we're gonna, the only thing that I have a problem with what we've been discussing so far. Is clarification on existing that we put a date so that this is when it's going to happen. You're already in and you've done everything prior to that. This is your pathway to stay there, which includes a canvas of your neighbors. If your neighbors say you're okay, do it because you've already had it. You say no, and I say, you know, that's where we differ, and that's fine. I have no problem.
I don't want somebody going to their neighbor house with an AK saying,
no,
oh, that's not going to happen. No,
I didn't say that. No, I didn't say that. But I'm saying that, like, for instance, this guy here, he says, I don't have any problem.
Actually, the potential liability of the county referring something like that, of a nature like this, really sounds...
What's the liability of this guy coming back and saying, I did everything the county told me to do, and now they're retroactively throwing me out of business?
Zero? Oh, we'll be sued, but time, place, and manner, given by the authority of the legislature.
But can time, place, and manner go backwards in time?
No, it goes from now forward.
From that time forward, okay. And
we
then
have
he's
the same
said.
Discretion that the voters have, Commissioner DeYoung, to say it tomorrow, after a 90-day and a process, these are the rules.
Right.
You did it for three
tomorrow,
years.
Tomorrow, that's what I'm saying. Tomorrow, these are the rules. not these are the rules and we're going to kick it back to 2001.
No cannabis on RR, period. No commercial enterprises. C, commercial on RR. We could do that in this ordinance. And the guy who's done it for 3 years, fine, you got to do it for 3 years. You can never grow cannabis on RR and with a commercial license over 12 plants again. That's it.
When the voter,
can do that.
Huh?
We can do that.
Well, we can do just about anything, but
you keep asking this question about whether or not we can do something of this RR deal, and that's not the question. The question is, should we? That's a valid question, and I'm not really sure. I think the market's going to do it. I think the voters' thing is going to do it. If we keep dinking around here for another 7 months, it'll just work itself out, in my opinion. The market will, and the advisory, Citizens Initiative will do it, and our hands will be out of it.
There's no guarantee that we do something that still won't happen.
Exactly.
So I don't, to me, that's not a...
That's not an option to me.
Well, the threat of that is not my concern.
No, that's, I think we should do the right thing.
The citizens have a right to put anything on ballot. It's not my concern as to if it's there.
My challenge is if we water it down and it does nothing, then you can...
That's far from watering it down to take a guy with a 2.5 acre parcel that's done everything according to our rules that we have put forth up until that date. From that date on, anybody new coming in, when a guy calls and says, I want to buy a piece of residential property, a 2.5 acre parcel or a 4 acre parcel, 4.85 acre parcel, and I'm going to grow marijuana, I say, no, you can't. Go, from this date forward, you cannot do that. And we're talking probably more than a half. Well, I'd like Julie to get back, and I'd like to visit with her about this, because we may, in essence, only have a dozen of these or two dozen of these out of 3,000.
No, the number.
I hear what you're saying there. 120.
It's right there.
Well, this is because this is all we know about Luxes. We don't know how many
will actually get
commercial
approved.
Medical grows there are. There's been estimates that there's 3,000, but because Oregon Health Authority doesn't tell us those numbers, we do not know how many of those 3,000 are affected. And the guesstimation that there's another 5,000 unregistered, that's neither here nor there because we can't verify it anyhow. But that was my question the other day. These people have gone through the process to do everything right.
Yeah, I know
right.
That was your question the other day. And I wasn't listening.
It's okay. I hear you.
That's my only question. Is like I say, going backwards. It's like changing a speed limit, go and get everybody.
No, it isn't, right, Commissioner there. DeYoung. They change speed limits all the time.
Yeah.
And it's
a bad analogy.
It's for that day forward. You can't go 20. You can't go 45. You can go 25.
From what we make going forward on restricted on rural residential, 5 acres and below, going forward, I'm okay with
it. The speed limit is a perfect analogy. You can have gone there. My dad, for 100 years, went 60 miles an hour down 7th Street. But now, it's 35. Forever after. You don't get to go 60. Just
right.
Because you've always done 60.
Right.
You only get to go 35 now.
And the portions that aren't 25.
You see what I mean? It's a good analogy. You could have always done. But things change. As a result of some of the challenges that are out there. People getting injured, people not liking the saturation of this kind of an industry in their RR neighborhoods. So I thought we threaded a pretty good, of a micro tier 1 and 2 on future existing RR in excess of 5 acre minimum. And we had people from the industry who were big supporters of the fact that we met them in the middle to a degree. Because the other bookend is you won't get to do RR commercial at all. And that doesn't seem reasonable. But I don't have a problem with saying there's a 5 acre threshold. If you're going to do a commercial operation, you should have at least 5 acres, meet these minimum setback requirements. And
I don't mind that going forward. I agree with you 100% going forward.
Okay.
But I don't, but I just think that there should be an application process or a pathway for the guy that's gone, and that's, one of the things that I think, we've got a group of people out here in this industry, we've got a group of people out here that has gone overboard doing everything right. They've done every inspection, they've got all their electrical inspected, they didn't have to, and yet we're throwing them, and they don't have any complaints from the neighbors.
I thought this is what the variance was going to cover.
And that's what I thought. I thought that
whether
there was a variance.
Whether it be under 5 acres, whether it be
changed?
A setback.
What's changed?
That a variance would allow the evaluation of impact on the neighborhood.
So what's changed? We were going to allow a variance. We're going to set the criteria?
That's where I saw, we had that included. The variance is the means for that person on the 2.5 to say, this is why I should be still allowed to do it. Here is this condition. That is
the... I know I'm not, that I can't conform to what the new rules are, but I've been here and this is what I've got. And, I have no problem with that. I would have not have one bit of problem with that. But to say, okay, and the other day, I think it that's what we talked about. And I think I know I did. I said, in 2 years, you're done. It was 3 years. And I said, no, 2 years, you're out. But.
I think we can craft this variance to look at any way you want.
Okay.
And you're in charge.
That was what
we... Inspiration is the best motivation for getting it done and doing it right, Commissioner DeYoung. And you're inspired. You're inspired more than I am. And I probably would be equally had I had that conversation with them yesterday. But right now, I'm so tired of this issue.
Oh, I am too.
I'm almost to a point where I don't care and I'm not going to do anything on it. And tomorrow I may recuse myself entirely of this issue. That's it. I'm over it. There are 100 other things that I think I should be doing with this, and this is not my sole job description. So I'm not going to get this perfect for everybody. What I do have to do is pick a time, pick a ordinance that's a text amendment that's good.
I think we need to do a get something on the book sooner rather than later. We're going to have, out of respect to the growers, they're going to go, oh, they're going to sit around here. We got another year, and they're going to grow another year and another year and another year.
So let's move forward with what is presented for the November 1st hearing. Your question was, what about this person? And I think that person was what I asked last week about those people who've done everything right. They're not an impact on the neighbors. To me, that's the measurement. The purpose of the land is rural residential. If they're not interfering with the neighbors... And that's where that variance would allow that process. So that's that means for that person who did everything right to have it evaluated if it actually doesn't interfere with the neighbor.
And if he fails the criteria, he's out.
There you go.
And he would understand that.
There you go. But we have to stick with the purpose of rural residential living. And this is a compromise to get there.
Yeah, because we have to have something that on January 1, we need to be in that waiting period and say, this is gonna take effect here. And then if the public decides they're gonna put something on the ballot to eliminate it altogether, then in May that takes effect. That trumps whatever we do here anyway, correct?
Actually, that's the question for you. So we get to the point of the second reading, it goes into a 90-day waiting period. Say there's a referendum to get signatures to overturn it.
Yes.
And a citizen initiative is filed of competing information. How does that work?
If they both wind up on the ballot?
Yeah.
Both of them are going to go into the code of Josephine County when we get that addressed, which we can cover next. But both would go into the code, and both would be operative, and therefore, frankly, the one that's...
Ours would be invalid by the vote if the vote passed, and the other one would be valid by the vote that passed?
Both would be valid, and so both would be enforceable. Of course, the first one wouldn't be enforced, basically, because you've got the second one that's simply a flat-out prohibition. If that one...
You're saying if the counties stayed,
yeah, it was
or if people voted it out.
I was tracking a whole different part. I'm sorry, Commissioner Morgan. I was thinking of both past. I don't know why I got into that tangent. That was.
It's okay. If they both pass, the more restrictive one is the one that applies.
Because they could both.
That's the answer.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not.
Was that even what you were asking?
We're okay.
Maybe? Or, okay.
I gathered an answer out of what you provided.
Okay. Excellent.
We have 7 days for your project of codification to be due. 7 days. So let's schedule a meeting for next Tuesday.
Okay.
Tuesday morning.
Let us do so.
Wait. Let me look at the calendar.
I don't know if I'm in town, but we're going to sit down.
Next Tuesday morning is Cajo. Then we have our general discussion that starts
Wednesday.
At 11.
Let's just look at Wednesday.
Our WBS is November 1st.
Yeah, we'll do it right after the WBS at 11.
Okay.
Does that work?
What are we doing?
I just have Rotary at 11:45.
I don't know.
We're recording that the cut of
the wait. No. WBS on Wednesday, November 1st, is our first hearing.
If it's like
our last one, I won't even make it to my Rotary meeting. And I just have a Student of the Year meeting at 1:30 I have to get to, so.
Well, that doesn't mean we can't schedule it if it does go short.
I would say Wednesday afternoon would be safer than Wednesday morning.
Are we not having our meeting on Tuesday?
It's there at 2 o'clock.
Okay, well, let's just put it on that agenda then.
One less day.
And I actually moved that, if possible, to Tuesday at 11.
Okay, the meeting will be Tuesday at 11?
I think I've requested that without objection of the board.
I think I'm okay.
What?
Oh, our meeting's Tuesday at 11?
I've requested that. I haven't looked at your guys' calendars. So I just
you mean just for next week?
Yes.
Okay.
Not permanently, just for next week.
Okay, so next week at 11 is our general discussion, because we have Cajo before it.
Right. I asked to move the legal meeting to 11 right after Cajo on Tuesday.
Got it.
Okay.
Without objection.
So the point for that would just be to say, here's where we are?
Yeah, it's been done.
Okay. Say that it's done.
I could say that.
Well, then... I know there's a lot riding on your shoulders, Pat, but
yeah,
this would be really great to have done before I expire for sake of having these marijuana discussions again and again and again. So, I have a letter from Mr. Ambron requesting topo maps, and he is expressing significant frustration at having contacted me in the office several times. I said I was going to get back to him on the 13th. My reservation is that he's not going to take the answer that we had deliberated on very well. He's going to go to anyone and everyone and say, why can't the county just facilitate some topo maps for us?
They're costly, and they're timely.
I'm not really sure what the cost or the benefit is. I'm not sure what the benefit is. I mean, you can get a map, you can print it off our assessor's site of tax lots and everything else. He's asking for a topographical map, which I'm not sure if they're on horseback is why they're, you know.
He said he wanted for emergency planning for different things, and that was why my response was he needs to coordinate with the Illinois Valley Fire Department. They can make the request of us, because this now gets into emergency planning, which is part of our countywide system. For a citizen group to be doing something that potentially could be in conflict of what our official stuff is, was my concern. And so if they go through the organization in their community that is the primary emergency responder, then we have a way. We found this with our CERT teams. One of our CERT teams came out of cover from an official organization, and then there was some liabilities there. By requiring them to go through Illinois Valley Fire Department, and if Illinois Valley Fire Department, as another agency that we work with on this emergency preparedness, asks for it.
You're articulating that really well. And so I think they're meeting today, and I'm sure this will be a topic of discussion.
I'd be happy to call Chief Hoke, and then I can call Mr. Ambron.
Great.
If you guys are okay with that.
Sounds fine.
But I want to make sure that all emergency preparedness and services that have an official capacity or claiming to be are working through the who we are going to be going to, which would be the fire department.
Yeah.
So.
There's any number of places they can get topographical maps.
It seems ridiculous. I don't understand the question coming to us, you know, so.
Well, as any public information request, there would be a fee required. Our maps aren't cheap. But my biggest concern is it was for emergency preparedness planning.
Topo Mac for hunting all the time to say, okay, don't go through there because
the Forest Service office,
the lines are too close together.
Cave Junction, you can get a topo map.
I don't understand it either. I got. Yeah.
Well, it's not something we have. It's something we would have to create, which under the public information, I mean, technically we could try to create
a topo layer, but we probably got it from the Forest Service or BLM or something.
Right. Is there something on there that he wants notes in it or just county specific?
But his request was emergency preparedness planning for every little area of Illinois Valley. To me, I want them coordinating with Illinois Valley Fire Department, who our emergency manager would be coordinating with in emergency preparedness.
That's your line of communication is through IV Fire? Illinois Valley.
Yes.
That's the way to go.
So with our emergency preparedness, with both in my public health department and then emergency management that would be here, we coordinate with the fire departments and those other things as part of our plans. So that would be, for a citizen group to do that, they need a... Okay.
Anything else? Sounds real good. Board's adjourned at 10:01. Hopefully this works out. Clear. Definitely want to make sure we get what you have to say. You know, it was a good discussion.
Yeah, you're a funny guy.
Oh, it's a good discussion.
You're funny.
Just got to figure out how to thread that. Yeah.